All right, turn in your Bibles tonight, please, to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. And once you have found that, hold on to it and go back to Isaiah chapter 7. I want to read one verse in Isaiah, and then I want to come to the New Testament. Isaiah chapter 7, I'll read that verse first, and then we'll come to Luke chapter 2. Isaiah 7 and verse 14. The Bible says, therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a, what's the next word? Sign. All right, what is that sign? Here it is. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. All right, let me read it again. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. All right, now go over to Luke chapter 2. And look at verse 10. It says, "And the angel of the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a what? A sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." I want to speak to you tonight on this subject. This shall be a sign. This shall be a sign. Let's pray together. Our Father, we ask now your blessings upon the Word of God as it's preached tonight. And Father, we are so thankful that we have a Bible to preach from. That Lord, we don't have to just come in here and sing songs or come in and just listen to the opinions of an individual, but Lord, we have your word that we can look at and which we can draw truth. And so Father, I pray that you will bless us tonight and help us as we look at these verses and think of all the signs that you have given and all the things you have shown us through the centuries. Lord, just many signs were given. And Lord, if we know our Bible, we're able to see signs today that are pointing to the fact that you're still working and about to do some wonderful things in this world. But Lord, we need faith to believe the Word of God, and faith to believe the signs that we see. So Lord, help us tonight to think on these things, and Lord, just help us to realize the greatness of your word, and we'll be sure to thank you and praise you for what you do. Speak to our hearts now, Lord, we ask in Jesus' name, amen. I don't know if you have thought very much about it, but our world today is just full of signs. Everywhere you look, there are signs. I remember a couple of years ago, I was down just outside of Raleigh, North Carolina, and there's a town down there that has a real strict policy on signs that businesses can put up. They have no billboards in this town at all. And they have very strict rules and very strict laws about the signs that a business can have. And you'll be going along and you're looking for a gas station or looking for a McDonald's or looking for a Burger King or some, and there are no signs. And right out front will be just, they let them have just a sign about 3 feet by 3 feet, and it has to be made out of wood. You cannot be a neon sign. And I'm always amazed when I go to that place, and I asked the pastor that I was preaching for down down there. I said, how does anybody find where they're going? And he said, well, sometimes you have to drive around a little bit, but you get accustomed to it. There are signs everywhere. Street signs, billboards, notices, postings, advertisements. Everywhere you look, there are signs that are pointing help us to understand where we are and where we're going and what we're looking for. And God has placed signs throughout the centuries, ever since he has created mankind and put us on the earth. God has placed signs in creation that help us understand things. My dad was referring to the sunset tonight, and as we were coming to church, and you could see the red sky out there, and my dad quoted, red sky at night, sailor's delight. Red sky in the morn, sailor's warn. So it's there are signs everywhere that that even God has put in the sky and in the heavens for us to know what's going on. I remember as a kid, my grandfather, my dad's dad, lived by the signs that he saw in nature. He would not plant until everything was, you know, just right, and that's when he would plant his garden. And he used to talk about the little woolly worms, you know, the little woolly worms that come out in the fall. And he would look at the woolly worms and say, oh, it's going to be a bad winter. I can tell by those woolly worms. And generally, he was pretty much always right on. I remember one time he came out and said, you better get that bicycle in the garage. And I said, why? He said, look at the leaves on that tree. It's going to rain in about a half an hour. And the leaves were turned up on that tree. And sure enough, about 20, 30 minutes later, here was a huge thunderstorm. He used to talk about the sap rising in the trees, and he used to talk about the halo around the moon. And he was just like a walking almanac. Well, I want you to know, folks, that your Bible is filled with signs as well. Your Bible has signs galore. And God gave a multitude of signs concerning the coming of His Messiah, of His Son, into this world. With all the signs given by God, it's absolutely amazing that when the Lord Jesus did come, there were so many people who could not see that the Lord Jesus was indeed the Messiah, the Redeemer, and the Son of God come in the flesh, who came to pay the wages that we owe for sin. We read a moment ago out of Isaiah, and Isaiah gives us one of the greatest verses that you'll find in the Bible. Isaiah 7:14. Therefore, the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. A virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Now the shepherds of Bethlehem heard these words. They heard that the Lord Jesus was born, and the Lord Himself, we saw last week. It was the Lord Jesus Himself, the angel of the Lord, and that's Jesus Himself, came to the shepherds and announced that the Messiah had been born. And so the shepherds heard the announcement, and the angel said, "This shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And another example, the devout Simeon foretold of the Lord Jesus that he would be a sign that would be spoken against. When Simeon received the Lord into his arms and blessed God for having seen the Messiah, he made a prophecy concerning the Lord and said that the Lord would be a sign that would be spoken against. And folks, surely that is exactly what happened to the Lord Jesus. He came unto his own, but his own received him not. Even though there was sign after sign after sign, that yet he was spoken against. They would not believe that he was the Messiah. I want to challenge you this week, a good Bible study. Take a good concordance and look up the word sign in that concordance, and then go to every place in your Bible where you find the word sign and just read how many times the word sign is there. It's an excellent Bible study. The truth is, folks, God gave sign after sign throughout His Word, and they were all to show, to validate, and to prove that His Word is true and that Jesus was who God said that He was and who He said that He was. Now, perhaps the clearest sign and the greatest sign of the birth of Christ was that which was prophesied by Isaiah in the 7th chapter, 14th verse that we read just a moment ago. With the prophecy that says, the virgin shall be with child. The virgin will have a child. Now, folks, think about that for a minute, all right? Virgins just don't have babies. And yet God said that this will be a sign that a virgin will conceive. The virgin will conceive. And Mary, however, was pregnant. Had Isaiah not said, listen very carefully to this, had Isaiah not said this would be a sign, one might legitimately question Mary's integrity. But God had clearly said that there would come a day when a young virgin lady would be with child, and when that happened, that child would be the Messiah who was sent from God. And sure enough, it happened. There, every one of us knows that virgin young ladies do not have babies. And yet, Mary was a virgin, and she was pregnant. She had a baby, and that baby was the Son of God. And what is so sad is that in spite of all the clear signs, the people came to Jesus and they said to Him, after all the signs that God had given and after all the miracles that He performed and all the wonderful things that He did, still the people came to Him and said, show us a sign. Show us a sign. Folks, He had given them sign after sign after sign, and God had given them sign after sign. And perhaps the greatest sign that was given was the sign of the virgin birth. And yet, the people would not believe. And so the Lord Jesus turned to that crowd that asked for a sign, and He said, there will no sign be given except the sign of Jonah. As Jonah was 3 days and nights in the belly of the whale, even so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and nights in the heart of the earth. It was this sign. You say, what sign? The resurrection. As Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, when he came out, that was the picture of the resurrection. And so it was this sign, the resurrection, that finally convinced even His disciples that had been with Him for 3.5 years, the 3.5 years of His earthly ministry. And they stood and they watched Him die. They knew that He was indeed dead. They saw the wrath of man poured out upon Him in those first 3 hours that He hung upon the cross, but they also saw the wrath of God poured out upon Him as He suffered those last 3 hours on the cross in the darkness of night, even though it was the middle of the day. But it was the sign of Jonah that finally convinced the disciples that Jesus was who He claimed to be. Now, signs fill the Bible. Now, let's go back for just a minute, and I want you to think with me of the sign of the virgin birth. We need to preach on this. This is a fundamental doctrine of Scripture, folks. Our Savior was virgin born, and He had to be so that He would not inherit the sin nature that you and I inherited from our parents. How many times have you been looking for a shop or for a place of business or for a store, and then you exclaimed, oh, there's the sign. There's the sign. We found it. You see, the sign is there to point you to the place. It's not the place, but it points you to the place. Now, the main sign of the Lord Jesus Christ was His virgin birth. The Jews understood that God promised a Redeemer for mankind. That's what the Old Testament Scriptures are all about. And they understood that God promised a redeemer for mankind. All the way back in the Garden of Eden, when Adam sinned against God, God promised Adam that he was going to send a redeemer to die in our place, to pay the penalty that we owe for sin, and to redeem us back to God. Now, the only way, listen carefully now, I want you to get this, the only way someone could pay our sin debt was for the Redeemer, the one who paid it, not to have sin in his life. That's the only way. Let's say that I decide, well, I want to pay for my son's sins. I want to pay for Joshua's sins. So I say, God, I'm going to give my life for Joshua. I'm going to give my life for him. Well, that's real noble of me, but who's going to pay mine? I don't see any of you guys jumping up here and volunteering. Strange how that works, isn't it? Yeah, you see, if I pay for his, then who's going to pay for mine? And I'm going to be honest with you. If one of these birds over here decided, Pastor, we'll pay, trust us, we'll pay for yours, I'm not sure I would. When you get down to it, they just might change their mind. But you see, folks, all have sinned. That's what the Bible teaches us. We're all sinners. And the only one who could pay our sin debt had to be someone who had no sin of his own. The sinless had to die for the sinful. And so that's the theme of the Bible. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none that doeth good. And this is the whole theme of the Bible. The Old Testament telling us the Redeemer is coming. The Old Testament telling us in picture and type and figure and prophecy and in representation. The Old Testament telling us that he's coming, and then 27 books in the New Testament showing us that he did come and he fulfilled all the Old Testament pictures and types and prophecies and was the fulfillment of all of the signs that God had given in the Old Testament about his coming. So folks, understand that at the center of both the Old Testament and the New Testament stands the doctrine of the virgin birth. The seed was planted by the Holy Spirit in Mary's womb. Jesus was not born of an earthly father, but the seed was placed in the womb of the woman. Jesus was the Son of God. He had God's nature, but he was born of a woman, and he had man's nature, but not man's sinful nature, which is passed on through the Father. So had Jesus been born of an earthly father, then he would have inherited the same sin nature that all of us inherited from our earthly fathers. And he would have needed someone to pay for his sin. So God solved that crisis with the virgin birth. And folks, that's why Isaiah had this prophecy. I mean, just think about it. Behold, a virgin shall conceive. That doesn't happen unless God does it. Unless God does it. And Mary was that virgin, chosen of God to bring the sinless Savior into the world. What's really neat, according to the writings of the rabbis, for centuries, I mean for centuries, folks, the Jews looked for the Redeemer. Back in Old Testament times, for centuries they looked for the Redeemer. They so badly wanted their promised Messiah to come. And it's interesting, whenever someone in the kingdom would rise to position or rise to power, all these rabbis from all these different schools of Judaism, all these rabbis would begin to write, and it was like a feeding frenzy. If one wrote something on it, the other one had to write something a little bigger and a little more emphatic. And so this happened regularly. Why? Because they so badly wanted their Messiah to come. And for example, during the time of King Hezekiah, this one rabbi wrote that he thought that Hezekiah surely was the Messiah. And then several of them jumped on the bandwagon, and they all wrote extensively on the subject and wanted King Hezekiah to so badly be God's chosen Redeemer, God's Messiah. But then all of a sudden, one elderly rabbi stood up and he wrote a commentary, and he said, no, 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 Hezekiah cannot be the Messiah. And the others began to question, and they said, why not? And so this document was written. This document is called the Zohar, Z-O-H-A-R. And this rabbi who wrote the dissenting opinion on what all the others had said, that Hezekiah was the Messiah, said, oh no, it is impossible for King Hezekiah to be the Messiah. And he went on to say that the reason is because the scriptures are clear that the Messiah had to be born of closed womb. That was his word. The Messiah had to be born of closed womb. You know what that means, dear friend? A virgin. That means a virgin. And as the years went on, Israel became more and more and more oppressed as a people. And then the captivity took place. And the longing in the heart of all the Jews was for their promised Messiah to come. But every candidate in their minds was someone who was born of natural means. In other words, everybody that they said, oh, look at this one. Look at how mighty this man is. Look at how godly this man is. Look how wonderful this king is. Wow, look at this one. But then they got to checking and found out he had an earthly mother and he had an earthly father. Therefore, disqualified. Disqualified. Every candidate was someone born of natural means, of a father and a mother. And the sad thing is, when the Lord Jesus was born and born of a virgin, the sign being fulfilled, he came unto his own, and yet his own received him not. Now, let's think about this. Secondly, think with me of some signs that are in the New Testament, signs of today and times today. You know, today we have not just the Old Testament with its signs, but we have the New Testament, which proves how Jesus fulfilled all those Old Testament signs. But then the New Testament gives us a whole bunch of new signs to look at today. Can you not now see, folks, why the devil so fights the doctrine of the virgin birth? I mean, you take the virgin birth out of the Bible and the whole thing just crumbles. You take the virgin birth out of it. I mean, you get some liberal preacher who stands up and says, I don't believe in the virgin birth. Heretic. Just mark it down. Heretic right there. Amen. The virgin birth is fundamental, folks. Jesus had to be born of a virgin so as not to inherit the sin nature. He had to. The banner flag of liberalism is to deny the virgin birth of Christ. Sign after sign was given. The place of his birth, the tribe from which he would come, the town, the time, all of it was prophesied. But folks, the main sign was the virgin was delivered of a child. Now, back in the late 1800s, at Oxford University in England, a couple of liberal theologians, who never gave testimony of knowing Christ as their Savior, by the way, in any of their writings or in any of their witness, never gave testimony of knowing Christ. They produced a critical text of the Bible. They produced a critical text of the Bible. And from that critical text, now over 400 and some versions of the Bible have been produced. And I want you to understand, dear friend, that every version other than the King James, all 400 and some other versions other than the King James, has come from that critical text. Now understand that. And what they did, they changed Isaiah 7:14, which said, a virgin shall conceive. And they changed it to say this, a young maiden shall conceive. They changed the Bible. Now, when asked why they did that, they couldn't give an answer. But later on, they wrote and said the reason they did it is because they did not believe in a virgin birth. Virgins can't have babies. Well, my friend, with God, nothing is impossible. Can I remind you that when the angel Gabriel came and appeared to Mary and told Mary that she was pregnant, and as she was pregnant from the Holy Spirit, that the Spirit of God had planted the seed, she said, how can this thing be? And the answer was, with God, nothing is impossible. Nothing. This is the whole foundation, folks. This is the whole foundation of Christianity, and it is built upon the doctrine of the virgin birth. And so they changed it. They changed it. If Christ was not virgin born, then he was born the same way all of us were born, and thus he would have been a sinner just like all of us. You know, having four grandchildren, I am re-identified with the fact that you don't have to teach them to do bad. You don't have to teach them to do bad. I hear, uh-oh. Now, we didn't get together last week and say, okay, Jenna, let me show you how to do this. This is a Christmas tree bulb, and these are from Karen's grandmother. Been in the family for 145 years now. Here's what I want you to do, sweetie. Pull them off the tree and drop them on the hardwood floor. No, we didn't have to do that. It's just innate. It is bred into them. They're sinners. All right? They're sinners. And I tell you, why do we want to sit around and argue with the Word of God? Why do we want to do that? My Bible says that Jesus was virgin born. Good enough for me. I'm going to believe it. I want you to know you're listening to one preacher tonight that still believes that our blessed Lord Jesus was born miraculously through the Holy Spirit, planting the seed in the womb of Mary, who had never known a man. Now, she was not sinless. She had parents. She was not sinless. Please understand that. But her firstborn son was sinless. When he went to the cross 33 years later, it was to pay the penalty for my sin and for your sin and for the sins of his whole world, of this whole world, even for his own mother's sins, but not for his own. And there's the sign, dear friend. Don't miss it. There's the sign. Now, one more thing before I let you go. Please understand, the Bible is filled with signs for both of Christ's coming. Both of them. Both of his comings. The prophets, the patriarchs, the Psalms, all filled with signs of Christ coming the first time. But you know, the amazing thing is, the patriarchs, the Psalms, and the prophets are all filled with signs for his second coming as well. The Lord gave signs in the Gospels. The Lord gave us signs so that you and I would know that his coming again is close. Now, I don't have time to take you tonight through all the signs given by the Lord and by the Apostle Paul and by John and by Peter. I don't have time to take you through all of those. It would take us all night and tomorrow night to do it. But you've read the New Testament and you've read the Bible, and you know the Lord made comments like this: when you shall see all these things come to pass, lift up your head, your redemption draweth nigh. Folks, all you got to do is look around you and see this one world entity that is being, the foundation is being laid today for this redistribution of the wealth. This one world society, this global society. All you got to do is look around and realize when you see all these things, lift up your head, your redemption draweth nigh. For you see, the Lord Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the day when the Son of Man returns. He said, when you see all these things come to pass, he said that sign after sign would be given, and they would enable us to realize that the day of the Lord is close. Point is, folks, God's not through giving signs yet. You say, but Pastor, our world today is so oblivious to God. No one believes the Bible anymore. I do. Evidently you do. You wouldn't be here tonight. So what if the whole world doesn't believe it and only a few of us do? I'm just going to keep believing it. I'm not going to let what everybody else does. I remember my mom used to say all the time, well, if everybody went out and jumped off the Patrick Street Bridge, would you do it? I used to sit there and think about that. Nah, I don't think I would. Well, if everybody jumped off the cliff, would you jump with them? But Mom, everybody's doing it. Well, you ain't everybody. If you say that all the time, you ain't everybody. Folks, I'm just going to believe God. The world can be oblivious to God. You know, Jesus asked a question one day. He said, when the Son of Man cometh, will he find faith upon the earth? You kind of wonder if he will, don't you? When you look at our world today, you have to wonder, is there any faith left anywhere? Oh, there's religion. There's oodles of religion. There's church. There's churchianity. There's the form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. I mean, millions of people will gather in church buildings on every Sunday, but will they find faith? And when he's talking about faith, he's not just talking about faith in, you know, Mother Earth or faith in Buddha or faith in something else. No, he's talking about faith in Christ. Right. And when he comes, will he find faith on the earth? Well, that's a rhetorical question. Of course he will. If he came back tonight, he would. He'd find faith tonight, right here in Westminster. There's others, I'm sure, across the world that still believe the truth. But brethren, listen, we need to realize God's word's full of signs. And the signs are all around us. All you got to do is just lift up your eyes. Just lift up your eyes. Read your Bible. Look for the signs in the Bible. And then just lift up your eyes and look around you. Jesus is coming again. He's coming again. You and I just need to believe that. We are saved by faith. We're not saved by religion. We're saved by faith. We aren't saved by church. We're saved by grace through faith. We aren't saved by ritual and form. We're saved by faith in the finished work of Christ. And the sad thing is, the signs pointed men to Jesus, and many missed his coming. I bet those shepherds are thankful they followed the signs, aren't you? I'm sure they went down into Bethlehem and they were going around and say, excuse me, have you heard of any babies being born tonight? Oh yeah, there's a lady right down the house, down this house down here. She just gave birth tonight. And they probably ran down to that house and knocked. Did you give birth tonight? Was there a baby born in this house tonight? And the proud papa's standing there saying, yes, sir, we had a baby boy tonight. Is he wrapped in swaddling clothes? Oh no, we don't have grave clothes on our boy. Are you crazy? This is our boy. It's our firstborn. We got him wrapped up in the good stuff. All right, thank you. Going down. Excuse me, did you find anybody know a baby that was born? Well, you know, I heard a little newborn baby crying down behind the inn, down in the caves, down at the stables. And they come down into the stables and look around, and sure enough, there's Mary sitting there holding a newborn baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, grave clothes, rags that were laid off to the side to wrap a body with when someone died. They were no longer any good. And there Mary takes those and she wraps them around her baby and she's holding her baby in her arms. Ma'am, were you a virgin when you had this baby? Yes, indeed. I believe this is it. I believe this is the Messiah. Thank God those shepherds believed. Hey, by the way, thank God you believed. this shall be a sign unto you. Sometimes Karen will say to me, why don't you look at the map? That's a man thing. I know where I'm going. Why don't you look at the map? I remember my mom used to say to my dad, you would argue with a road map and take the wrong road home. That's me. I got into an argument with my navigation system a couple of weeks ago. In 500 feet, turn left. I don't think so. In 200 feet, turn left. And I'm sitting there talking to this thing like it can understand me. Lady, you don't know where you're going. Why do we want to argue with the one who knows where we're going? That's God, folks. And it's filled with signs. The signs are all around us. We just have to believe them. I don't know about you, but I choose to believe them. Amen. May God bless His word to our hearts.